Blog Talk Radio.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed.
Don't touch that dial, ladies and gentlemen. You've come to the right place. I'm the Recruiting Animal, and the next hour is going to be a virtual psychedelic trip into the world of recruiting. You never take an LSD? Well, listen to this show, and you won't have any more questions. So, to start off today, I want to talk about job hunters. You know, I'm a recruiter, so people often refer their friends to me when those guys are looking for a job. And some reason, you know, I was going to say for some reason, they're not always the greatest candidates. One guy, actually, he was a good candidate, but not for me. He called me last week. He knows somebody in my family, apparently. I'm not sure who. Anyway, I looked at his resume. I gave him some tips. I pointed him to some good books by people I know, like, you know, David Perry. A day later, he sends me an email that says, keep in touch. Wait a second, I said to myself, I'm helping him for nothing, and he's telling me to keep in touch. I'm supposed to check up on him? Please, no! Let me tell you about another guy. I don't know why, I feel crazy today. I have a very nice friend, and she married someone she hardly knew. I know it's unbelievable, it's very crazy, but he was a member of some spiritual group she was going to, so she assumed that they had a lot in common, even though he couldn't really speak English, to tell you the truth. Anyway, he was some kind of engineer, allegedly, but he was having trouble finding a job. So we all went out for dinner, and at the end of the evening, I offered to help this guy, just because she was my friend. And he said, good. Call me to make an appointment. Me? Call him? No way. I ain't going to do that. And I don't have to tell you. I got to calm down. I don't have to tell you. My friend isn't married to this guy anymore. I think my problem is, you know, I keep changing my phone every week, trying to get a better sound, and this one's just making me, it's got the vibe in it, you know? Anyway, where was I? I was saying she's not married to him anymore, but it isn't because I didn't find him a job. There was plenty of other stuff. So I'm going to give you some good advice right at the top of the show. Don't marry someone you don't know, okay? I know Amy Beth is listening. That's advice for you. Scott is married already. I'm going to give you one more example, then I'm going to go to the show, okay? A cousin I actually know referred a guy to me. 40 years old. He'd been running a clothing store since he got out of university, and now... Now he wants to be a pharmaceutical sales rep. So, does that seem likely to you? Not to me. I could never place him, though. I told him so. I mean, he wants some frank feedback. What's he calling me for? But he didn't take it too well when I told him. And I don't know, maybe he knew better than me. I never heard the end of that story. Which brings me, you wonder why I'm talking about these guys? It brings me to my guest for today. His name is Scotty Williamson. I don't know much about Scotty, but he claims that after spending hours on end counseling his friends about their careers, he started a new blog called CareerWayMark.com. There's a little story behind that name, of course, and we'll talk about it later. And if you want to find out about it, get out the Valium, because you're going to take a trip into the magic world of recruiting radio with me, your guide, the Recruiting Animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show! You know what? I do that long because I always have to get to my music.
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
It's definitely the phone that's making me crazy today, because I feel a bit different. You know what? I had this phone at my parents' place, and my dad, he's something else. Anyway, first thing I want to do before I get to Scotty is give a shout out to Maureen Shareeb, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. She's not here today. She's giving a talk at the ERE convention. So I hope everyone there is having a swell time. Now, Scotty Williamson, come on down. Are you there?
I am here, Animal. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I don't know anything about you, but let me ask you right off the bat. Why did you leave baseball?
Well, if you've ever seen me play baseball, you'd know. But fortunately, the comparisons with the Scott Williamson from the Red Sox. And,
that's not you?
Unfortunately, that's not me.
I thought, that's why I invited you. I thought, you know, here, you know, the hockey players, they have jobs in the off season. Once when I was a kid, I was a caddy, and I ran into Frank Mihaljevic when I was going into the washroom. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a famous hockey player. But you're not the guy, right?
Afraid not, no.
Okay, well, you know what? We're here. We'll go ahead with the show anyway.
Okay,
so let me see. What should we talk about then? You know what? You didn't say, that's a problem. You didn't say what you did on your blog. So when I Googled you, I got Scott Williamson, the baseball player, and that's why I thought that was you. But, you know, I'll move ahead. Sorry, you got me flustered, but I'll move ahead anyway. Have you ever heard of Freakonomics?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you know, it's an economist who asks questions about oddball topics, but he comes up with a lot of profound truths as a result?
Sure.
Yes?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, I invented the Freako interview, right? I use it. I consider it a new paradigm for the normal recruiting interview, and I use it here on the show as well. I'm going to let you test it. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Okay. So normally, I'd go for about 15 minutes with a candidate. At the end of that time, I really know what he's like, right? I don't need any more questions, but I'll just give you a little taste. Up or down?
Up.
Front or back?
Front.
Left or right?
Right.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the easy questions. We're getting a little harder now, okay?
Okay.
Brittany or Christina?
Christina.
Seinfeld or Frasier?
Seinfeld.
Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Hamburgers.
Hot dogs or cold sauce?
Hot sauce.
Okay. LinkedIn or Facebook?
LinkedIn.
I knew you'd say that because you said so on your blog. Okay. So let me ask you another question. Any questions for Scotty from the people? I mean, like, I don't know anything about him, so maybe somebody else does. No. Okay. Nobody's got any questions for you yet. Let me ask you a question. Do you like bacon, Scotty?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. But do you feel bad about killing the pigs?
No.
Oh, really? Well, then I've got a treat for you,
bacon
if you
salt.
Did, okay? Bacon salt. It tastes like bacon, but it's vegetarian and kosher as well. Now, Scotty, did you hear that I was just appointed the VP of Vegetarianism on the Bacon Salt Facebook group?
You know, I did see that this morning.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Right. And thank you. And I'm going to agitate so that everybody who comes on the show, both the guests and the callers, get a free bottle of bacon salt. Now, that's not the case yet, so don't anybody come to me. It's going to be quid pro quo. I give them a little advertising. My guests get a bottle of free condiments. You know what quid pro quo means, Scotty?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
It means I give you something, you give me something.
Well, that's kind of it, right? But that's not a literal translation. Anybody who wants to know, just look it up on Google. I have one more little public service announcement. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, you know who Gautam Ghosh is?
Say it again?
Gautam Ghosh. Gautam Ghosh.
Not ringing a bell, no.
Oh, he's the, I don't know, the recruiting king or the HR king of Asia, of Southern Asia. Gauteg.blogspot.com. I guess because he doesn't speak English, he speaks English, but it's not his first language. And he came up with this URL, Gauteg, gauteg.blogspot.com. That's his website. Anyway, humancapitalinstitute.org. Humancapitalinstitute.org has invited him to do a webcast for them on talent management. Anybody who wants to can go there and sign up. Okay, Scotty, what do you do for a living? Why did you not put that clearly on your blog?
Well, primarily because, I mean, my background really is in recruitment technology, applicant tracking systems, talent management, and that's where I spent the last...
What? What's your background?
Applicant tracking and talent management.
Oh, okay. Applicant tracking. So you're a software guy?
I'm a software recruitment technology guy, yeah.
So okay, and what's your title?
Right now, my title is a solution consultant. So I basically configure and propose solutions to HR departments' recruitment and hiring needs.
Yeah, do the HR people know that you hate them? You said some pretty nasty things about them on your blog.
I don't hate them at all.
Okay, here's you got some sayings on your blog. Those who can do. Those who can't end up working in HR.
Yes, I said that.
They don't mind hearing that from you, eh?
You know, I have friends that do mind, and I have friends and colleagues that cringe a little bit at that one. But
your company's HR department is not your friend?
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Okay, we'll get to that. But your clients don't mind you putting that kind of stuff on the air, right?
Well, there's a reason I don't have my company name on my blog, so.
Oh, I see. Okay, so listen, your blog's not about your work then. Is that right?
No, it's a reflection of the experience that I've gained in that industry, but it's not about my work, no.
Okay, well, why did you start your blog?
Really, because I felt like, and you kind of...
I was kind of hoping you'd be scared to come here. You started your blog like last week. You don't sound scared at all.
Well, good. I hope not. I mean, it was exciting to be able to be on your show. I've read a lot about you. But I started my blog essentially because I feel like in the cyber world of information on the Internet about careers and career development, there's a lot of great information that really comes from the standpoint of companies, corporations, and their HR department.
Come on. You know what my policy is on this show? When people start making long statements, I break them up. So you're saying there's not enough career information online, so you felt you had to start one as well?
Not enough that comes from the standpoint of the individual.
What does that mean?
Well, it basically means that a lot of the information that's out there comes from a standpoint of a company's HR department. There's not a lot of information that really speaks to and guides the individual through their job search, their career, and all the kind of landmines they need to be, you know.
Does anybody want to take a shot at him before I do for that? Harry?
Nah.
You give lots of advice. Harry's another guy. Gives free advice, just like me.
Can you hear me? I'm on point.
Yeah, I can hear you. Scotty, can you hear him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Amy Beth is there as well, right? Maybe she's not on anymore. Okay.
No,
I'm here.
Leave
here.
Alone.
And who's 317?
You're on a roll. You're interrupting him, animal.
Oh, I just want to know who's here. Who's 317? Is that your friend, Mike?
It's Workfarce.
The Workfarce!
Farce.
Okay, I know the Workfarce wants to talk about Jason Goldberg, but we got to talk about Scott.
No, that's for another time.
Okay, but I just think, you know, this guy said something shocking. I mean, he's saying that there's not enough career blogs already, so that's why he felt compelled to start one. You want to take a shot at him for that before I do?
I'm biting my tongue.
Okay, Scotty, go ahead. You finish.
Well,
want me to interrupt you again? No, you go ahead.
No, and again, my blog was really kind of, I didn't want to give you a little background. I mean, I have lots of friends, colleagues that have done blogs on a variety of topics. I didn't want to just blog about anything. So,
yep.
I wanted to blog about my own experiences and blog about something that I feel like I had a little information about. But more importantly, the other side of this is I want to build a community for other professionals, individuals to come and share their experiences.
Why?
Because I don't know it all. No one does.
No, but why do you want to build a community?
Because I think there's a need for information, and a lot of the information is from companies, not so much from individuals. I don't see, and I'm not saying there's...
Have you ever read The Brazen Careerist?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so she's not a company, but what about Career Hub? There's a lot of... Louise Fletcher is a resume writing company, so do you mean when she writes about career stuff, that's from a company, or like when you say from a company, what do you mean? Give us some examples. Are you scared yet?
Say it again?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I'm looking to speak more from the individual's perspective, and I'm not saying there isn't some of that out there already. I'm just looking to add maybe some more flavor to that.
Okay. You, why don't you just say you like doing it? You want to be...
And I love doing it,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right now, have you looked for a lot of jobs? You said you've only been working about 8 years. Is that right?
No, we're 8 years in this in the recruitment technology space.
Uh-huh. So how many jobs have you had in those 8 years?
Three.
Okay. So you have looked for jobs quite a few times. Is that it?
That's true. I mean, I tend to get found more than I have to find positions. I've been fortunate in that capacity.
Oh, you've been recruited?
Yes.
Okay, so you haven't really slugged it out like you're telling people how to do it. Is that right?
No, but I have worked with, like I said, a lot of colleagues, friends, people that have been laid off, look to make changes.
And why do they come to you? Because your father was a minister?
That could be. Maybe there's a little bit of a counseling capacity in my background or in my nature. I don't know. But I seem to get a lot of that, you know, people coming to me for advice on how to and... Maybe because they know I've worked in that space, and I have some background on maybe some best practices on things to do or not do.
Okay, so actually, you know what, just before I move on, I want to ask that. So you're working with technology, recruiting software. How, aside from your own experience, how would that teach you anything about job hunting?
Well, in working with recruitment technology, by its very nature, I work with a lot of HR professionals from VPs of HR all the way down through sourcers and specialists, so the whole gamut across the HR. Part of that goes into recruitment process engineering and re-engineering, so I've spent a lot of time talking through with recruiters, HR specialists, you know, how do you recruit? What's your process look like from the time you open a new position to the time you hire? And part of my job as a solution consultant is to then take that process and, again, help build and configure software to help them manage that more efficiently.
Okay, so are you dealing with just corporate recruiters, or do you deal with any third-party external kind of recruiters as well?
Almost exclusively corporate recruiters.
Okay. So I was going to ask you if you know if they're any different from external recruiters, or if there's something about them that, you know, gives you that negative opinion you stated on your blog.
Well, I would say the external recruiters, I have had better experiences with than most corporate recruiters. But
really?
I have to say there aren't great corporate recruiters. I believe there are.
You know, Amy keeps sending me messages. So, Amy, you're on the line. Just interrupt. Don't be so polite. What do you want to say?
Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm taking notes on the conversation and sharing it with you.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Later.
Just speak up, though. He doesn't mind. You don't mind, Scotty, do you?
Not at all.
She's a very nice girl. She's a sorcerer, an external sorcerer, an internet
sorcerer. I'm a researcher. I research.
Oh, yeah.
We already went over that.
Yeah, okay. You know what? But people like her, like she specializes in internet sourcing is what I call it, internet research, if you will, whatever. Do you have guys like that in companies doing that kind of work?
Is that for me?
Sorcerers. You said you work
with
sorcerers. What's a sorcerer inside a corporation?
Well, I get it, from what you just told me about Amy, it's a lot of that same sort of role. I mean, their role really is probably the hardest in recruitment, which is to go out and find the candidate. You know,
yep.
Whether it's
no, but I mean, do they use like BroadLook technology and you know, scour the internet for people? What does a sourcer do inside a company?
You know, most of them are still a little bit behind, I think, using all of the cutting edge tools that are out there. So most of them are still going to the job board and using those tools. They're not.
I would agree
really...
with that.
Say again.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, they're not quite up to speed, I don't think, with all of the tools that are available to them.
Okay.
I got a question. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, whoever it is.
It's Harry.
Okay. Harry, speak up. Get on a better phone.
No, this is Voight, damn it.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Speaking of the receiver.
For Scott and Amy Beth, is what is the average tenure for an internet researcher in a corporate environment? How frequently do they stay in that job? A year, 2 years, 5 years?
That really depends.
I
spent 4 years with my first company. So,
were you inside a company? Like you're working for a recruiting firm now?
No, I actually work for a public relations agency, so I'm on the corporate side of recruiting now.
Okay.
The 4 years was spent with a third party recruiting agency.
Mm-hmm.
So corporate, you know, that's new territory for me. But, you know, maybe Scott has more insight on that than I would.
I don't have any specifics, but I would say probably it leans towards the under 5 year mark.
Under 5 years.
Yeah.
And is it an entry level job typically? So somebody goes in and they're internet sourcing for a year, and you know, during that year they're constantly trying to promote it into some other more glamorous position.
Who asked that?
Harry did.
Oh, gosh. We could go off on about an hour conversation on the whole entry-level thing. That's kind of the perception that is what research is an entry-level and a springboard onto bigger and better things, i.e. recruiting. But, you know,
perfect.
In a lot of cases, that's not true.
All right. So, perfect. So here's what I'm wondering, right? If the learning curve for BroadLook Technology suite of products is a year, right, and the average end user for BroadLook's products is an internet sourcer, and that's an entry-level job, then two things strike me about that. Scott, pile in on this if you want. Number one, during that year, the internet sourcer is going to constantly be splitting his or her focus between getting a better job within the same organization and doing their job. And the other thing is, as soon as they develop any proficiency on BroadLook at all, they're off to a new function within the company. Is that correct? So there's like this constant state of unfocused ignorance among corporate internet sourcers. Is that true?
Harry, this is Workforce. I suppose in my dealings with several corporations, you do have that. You have the entry level climber, if you will, who's still getting acclimated to the environment. The antithesis to that is the corporation that recognizes the value of the sourcer and will go after people that their function is inherently research, library information science people, librarians, people that have done research in a previous life and put them in a sourcing position at a high salary, who don't look. And that's worked out really well. So I've seen both.
Yeah, this,
I think the big point there is recognizing the value of the researcher, because if you're in a company where there's no value placed on the internet researcher, sure, you're going to get people that come and go. It's going to be a revolving door because, you know, and that's...
Let's get Scotty in. Scotty, if you don't get a word in edgewise, we'll bring you back. Don't worry about it, okay?
No, I was going to say, I absolutely agree with
animal.
No, no, you talk, Amy. You're an experienced person, but I just wanted to let him know we didn't forget him. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I'm trying to jump in, but I definitely agree with Workforce. I think, you know, if the company places enough value on the sourcer and incents them accordingly, I think that's a job that can be more long-term than short-term. I think that there's a good sourcer is probably worth his or her weight in gold.
Yeah, but you're not seeing them there. That's what you told us. Workforce is saying they're hiring these masters of library science to do it. You're saying you're not meeting those kind of people. You're meeting the people that Harry is wondering, you know, junior guys who don't want to stay in sourcing or don't want to make it a career like Amy has.
Yeah, and while I was going to finish, I think that most companies just aren't putting enough value on the sourcing role at this point.
And the future of recruiting, they will?
I think they should.
That's the goal.
Yeah, I think they should. I don't know if they will. Like I said, I think HR has been slow to respond to a lot of the trends, and even though there's a lot of great information out there, I mean, whether it's articles in ERE or other posts, there's not a reason that the companies aren't informed. They're just not taking that information or advice quickly enough. Mm-hmm. They're very reactionary instead of being proactive, most companies.
Band-Aid fix. Yep, that's exactly it.
Okay.
100%.
Awesome.
Anything else to say about that? Anybody? I'm moving on. Next question. We can come back to that, though. It's a very important issue. So, Scott, your mission is to blow the lid off all that is perceived around career development. Who's there? Is everybody still there? I know that's the VoIP phone. Is that the problem? Anybody still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
Yep,
okay, because there's all kinds of funny noises here. Anyway, he wants to blow the lid off all that is perceived around career development, job searching, and recruitment, and to build an online community of career professionals that runs across Gen Y, Gen X, and Boomers. Okay, the only interesting part there to me is that you want to blow the lid off something. What does that mean, Scott?
Well, I mean, those words were chosen for a reason, obviously, which was to get the reaction that I think you and a lot of people have, which is to hopefully uncover, you know, a lot of what's perceived. I mean, there's too many people that I come in contact with that just follow what they think they should do when it comes to career development or job searching. You know, they don't take time to research what's new when it comes to building my resume. What's new when it comes to looking for a job? Is there a better way to find a job than just going to Monster and hanging my resume and searching for jobs? And they fall into the same patterns, which I think as humans we tend to do too often. And so if I can expose some of that, build a community that will either agree or disagree, either one is fine, and get some decent discussion going on that topic, I think we can reach out and touch more people.
So most people are pretty ignorant, right? Yes or no?
Generally, I think that's probably true.
Okay. Most of them don't even know about LinkedIn. Yes or no?
True,
right. Okay. So when these guys call you and you tell them about LinkedIn, do they say, oh, no, I don't want to put my information online? Or do they say, hey, thanks for telling me about it?
It's definitely not they don't want to put their information online. A lot of them just don't know about it. I mean, They hear a lot more about MySpace and Facebook, unfortunately, than they do about LinkedIn, which to me, while MySpace and Facebook have a lot of value, they're not as professional-oriented yet as I think LinkedIn is, at least by perception.
No, I agree with you. I mean, like, I get all these invitations for stupid drinks and stuff on on Facebook, and Harry got kicked off. He's famous around the internet, although because I wrote about it, people think it happened to me, but it didn't. Okay, so let me see. You said the company doesn't want individuals, it wants conformists. Now, is that some kind of attack on business being un-American?
No, if you look at a company and what a company's interests are, their company's interest is there for one reason. They want to make money. And so when it comes to making money, they don't want to do anything or have themselves exposed as doing anything that's outside of what their common goal is to. So if they make products, you know, they want to look a certain way, they want to feel a certain way, they want to market themselves a certain way, and their employees are a direct reflection of that. So the company really doesn't want a bunch of people running around, you know, dressing differently or behaving differently or saying things that go against what the company's values and mission is.
Let me bring a work farce to comment on that, okay? What, like, here's the thing, because I read a lot about corporate blogging, and they always say, you know, you can't choke the blogger. At the same time, he's got to be aligned with the brand. He's got to be aligned with the company mission. And what it sounds to me like in the context of what you just said is these people are just going to be conformists. Now, that's the work farce's territory. The age
conformists. Oh, thanks. The way I heard it was, companies look for people to perform a function. That's it. No free thinking, you know. And that's, you know, that's the advantage of being with a group that, that embraces something like
that. Well, let's talk about a specific job and what free thinking means in the job and what conformity means in the job. Let's talk in concrete terms. Scotty, you got one?
Of the job?
Yeah, you said the individual, the company doesn't want individuals; it wants conformists. I know what that means from a blogging point of view.
Yeah, let's just take a salesperson.
Okay.
So you know, look at a company, a traditional, maybe somewhat conservative company like an IBM as an example. I mean, they're known for their salespeople being buttoned up, suit and tie, probably black suit, white shirt, red tie. They don't want anything really outside of that norm.
But that's superficial. What about the actual sales process? Harry, you deal with people who must be individuals. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Okay, so would you disagree with him on this? Stop eating that lunch.
I'm not eating that lunch. I'm sitting here chewing a piece of gum. I'm hands-free, baby.
Okay.
I would disagree with parts and agree with parts.
Well, what parts would you agree with? I mean, that was true during the sort of industrial age when you had a bunch of guys on the line. They had to do the exact same thing. But I don't see how it works in, you know, beyond, I didn't, when I was a kid, I didn't want to wear the same clothes as everybody else. But now, if that's your brand and you have to wear a uniform, that doesn't mean that they're telling you exactly what to say and how to say it and, dictating your every move. Is that what you guys are saying?
No, my opinion, right, is that this day and age, what companies want more than anything is not so much somebody who conforms to a certain appearance, although that's important, and a certain level of comportment, right, that's important too. But more than anything, they're looking for people who are value confluent with the rest of the organization. So,
what does that mean?
It means, do we all stand for the same stuff, right? Do we roughly have the same philosophy of business? For example, I think I had a blog post about this that you took me to task on. The Philip Morris company back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was the archetypical Marlboro man kind of maverick company. And if you did well at Philip Morris, it was because you were that kind of a person. And there was a lot of confluence of values in that organization. It's one of the things that made them so successful, for better or for worse. Disney, it takes a certain kind of person to succeed there. Merck, certain kind of person.
Yeah, but does that mean you're a conformist?
It means you have to be able to assimilate into the culture of the company.
Scotty,
so you don't have to conform.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think that's absolutely correct. I think there's a difference between working at a company and ultimately being successful and rising within that company. I think there's a lot of people that do the conform game or play that corporate game, if you will, better than others, and those are typically the ones I think you see rewarded and move up the corporate ladder a little more than the others. I mean, a lot of people don't understand why their career gets stagnated, and maybe it's because they're not playing that corporate game and reflecting.
You know what? I'm under the impression that these days people want
creative
problem solvers. Is that true or not? False or true?
I would agree with that.
Okay, and so a creative problem solver, he might have to wear a blue suit, but it doesn't mean he's a conformist, does it?
I don't know of any creatives that would wear a blue suit, though.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. Scotty, I want you to come back at me at that one.
You know, I think creative problem solving is definitely something that a lot of companies talk about, but I think there's probably limits and boundaries within what they're really willing to accept within those that value, if you will.
Got an example?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, I'm ready to move on. Here's what else you said. Being more conservative than the crowd is sound career advice. You may be surprised at the results. It sounds like a horoscope.
No, I think, you know, I made a post yesterday about dressing for success and the fact that, you know, a lot of people take the casual dress thing way too far, and I think that can be detrimental to your career. I think if you look at, you know, your CEO, if you look at your boss's boss, and you emulate what they're doing, you're probably going to be in safer ground than if you try and be too radical or too much of an individual. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Anybody want to fight with them, or should I move on?
Casual dress should not be wearing hot pants and sparkle shirts to work.
I ain't seen it. Does anybody do it?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
You know what? I work for myself, so I never see it. Okay, next question. I'm quoting you. Show the employee, singular, that you care about them, plural, and their way of life away from work, and they, in return, will do more to ensure the company is successful. Do you have any stats on that, or is that just a hunch?
That's based on my own experience. I don't have any stats on that, no.
Okay, so tell me about that. Is this fair? I'm taking what you said on your blog.
No, it's totally fair.
We're giving you a chance to demonstrate it.
No, I think, read that quote again, because I want to...
Show the employee that you care about them, their life away from work, and they will give you something back. They'll make sure the company is successful.
Absolutely, that's true, I think. And really what I'm saying there, I think, is that if a company will... I've worked with a lot of companies who give little one-off benefits. So it's, you know, flexibility to come in late or leave early or take your kid to the doctor when they're sick or, you know, help the employee manage their life away from work a little more efficiently. I think employees tend to respond to that better than if the company says you must be here between 8 and 5, no exceptions, there's 1 hour for lunch.
Now, are you the guy who said that the Radio Shack people or Best Buy are able to come in to the stores? To the retail stores whenever they want?
No. That's part of a program they're rolling out at the store level. Right now they only do that in their corporate location in Minneapolis.
Okay, but that's going to happen? The salespeople can say, I'm coming in at 10 after I have my coffee?
That's what they're saying. I'll be surprised to see how they try and pull that off or implement that, but I think it's really interesting as far as from a concept perspective, and I would love to see how they manage to make
I can't understand
work.
It unless they eventually what really happens is they just voluntarily come in at the right time.
Yeah, it's actually in place right now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And ironically, it's been great for them because they can weed out those that are ineffective, let's put it that way. Because if they give people the latitude to just come and go as they please, provided that they get these certain tasks done in an allotted time frame, everyone has deadlines, and everyone has a function that they need to perform. If they are performing that, but there's no stringent rules, be in at 8, leave at 5, hour for lunch type of thing, then they give people the freedom.
Hold on a sec. Let me interrupt you. Is that kind of like what Mao did in the 50s? Let 100 flowers bloom. He says, you can be free. And then when he sees what the people do when they're free, he knows who to arrest. You're saying they know who to arrest. Oh, do whatever you want. Then
well,
they see what you do and they fire you, right?
Think about who abuses that sort of freedom.
Uh-huh.
Give them long enough rope to hang themselves.
It's a bit of a trap in some ways, isn't it?
You know, you can determine very quickly in your organization if you give people freedom, who's going to abuse it.
Okay. Let me ask you, Scott, this kind of thing that we're talking about now, do you use that when you're counseling your friends?
The whole argument with Best Buy, the discussion we have?
No, just in general, the kind of things we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about that being nice to your employees and they'll be nice to you?
Well, I love the Best Buy story because I think it potentially could really be a great solution for a lot of other companies, especially ones that have high turnover issues. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out. I mean, tech companies have been doing it for a long time. Some of the more progressive companies that you see out in, like, the Silicon Valley area that I know of do more of that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of value to it, and I definitely believe in it. So I'm curious to see where we go with that in the next few years.
Scott, do you have a tattoo?
Yes, I do.
You do? Where is it?
I have a couple, but mostly they're on my arm or shoulder.
Oh, really? Pictures or what? No, your wife's name?
No wife's name, no kids' names yet, but I wouldn't rule it out.
But you said you have the best wife in the world, don't you?
Yes, I do. She's wonderful.
Okay, I'll come back to that. What did you say? Oh, Scott is married to the woman of his dreams. Tell us, what makes her dreamy, Scott?
You know, she's completely supportive of whatever I do, and she's given me a lot of latitude to be myself, and she respects me and treats me as such. So.
Does she work?
She does.
Is it okay if we talk about her, or should we leave her out of it?
No, we can talk about her.
What does she do?
She's
HR?
She's a school teacher.
Oh, okay.
HR.
I thought I'd catch you there. Okay. Anyway, you said employee evolution, and I know those guys well. You said employee evolution is a great Gen Y site. Why is that? Ryans.
The two Ryans, yeah, and with lots
they hate
of visitors.
Me, by the way.
They hate me?
They hate me.
Oh, they do hate you. It's a good Gen Y site because people, the people that they are speaking to is that audience. I mean, they've done a really good job of marketing themselves to the Gen Y group. They get a lot of good response. I've commented on a few of their postings. I frequently disagree with a lot of what they have to say. But if, for me, doing research and I want to know what Gen Y is thinking, it's a great place to go and see exactly what Gen Y is thinking, what they're all about.
You mean whatever those guys think is what Gen Y is thinking?
No, but if you read the responses in the comments to their posts, and they get quite a bit of good posting, you can get a pretty good flavor of...
Yeah, everybody disagrees with me. That's what I notice on that site. And
well,
you know what? It's not a matter of being Gen Y or not. It's a matter of one and one is two. Two and two is four.
The Gen Ys are just trying... They just haven't figured it out yet. I mean, think back to when you were in your 20s, and you got out of college, and you thought you knew a lot about a lot of things, but you really didn't yet, and you didn't really have any world or real-life experience. That's kind of where Gen Y is, only they're more educated than a lot of other generations that have come before them. They've had a lot more opportunity than a lot of other generations.
What, like the Depression generation? I mean, like everybody here went to university, I assume. Anybody on the phone right now didn't go to college, post-secondary school? No. Okay, go ahead.
What I mean by that is I think they've had a lot more things really dumped in their laps. They haven't had to work for things in the same way that a lot of us did coming up. I never worked my way through school. I'm assuming that most people did to some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've had a little bit of an easier path. They've come out of school at a time where there are jobs available. When I got out of school, there really weren't a lot of good opportunities. You really kind of had to, you know, put your head down and work hard to, you know, to get anywhere to get that first job. And it's a little bit different for them, and they're still trying to figure it out.
Okay, so the pals that you're advising about career direction, et cetera, I assume none of them are Gen Y, or are those their kids? Or you sound a little too young to have friends whose kids are job hunting.
Well, I'm in my early 40s, but I have a good friend of mine who is Gen Y who recently was laid off, and I
mm-hmm.
walked him through the whole process of updating his resume, and he was able to secure the job actually much quicker than I thought he would. But so I don't have a lot of close friends that are Gen Y, obviously. I mean, I'm much older than most of those folks are. But that's a group that I think, A, needs guidance, and B, I'm really curious to see more about them, where they land, what their real goals are, and what really makes them tick, because they're different than...
Anybody want to get them on this? You know what? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to shift for a second. Do you do any sales in your job? But you have a lot of customer contact, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do sales too? You're very smooth. See, sounds great.
Part of my job as a solution consultant is to work with sales to help them.
Oh, you know, you shouldn't say that word solution when you're talking to the workforce here. He gets that Niagara Falls kind of attitude, you know? But he sounds good. He sounds very smooth. If I were talking to you in a recruiting capacity, I'd say this guy's very presentable. That's a good compliment for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody want to say something on the basis of what he said about Gen Y? What about the Gen Y princess? You read her, too.
Yes.
You like her blog, too? Don't have to say it. Okay. I can see you hesitated. Okay. You're not really blowing the lid off anything. You just said that to get people like me excited. Is that right?
Well, it depends on what your background is. I mean, people that work in and live in the recruitment space, blowing the lid off is going to have a different, you know, meaning for them than someone that doesn't.
Okay, I get you. Blowing the lid off for the ordinary person is telling them to go and sign up for LinkedIn, right? Okay.
It could be.
Okay, let's go to something explosive. Your ideas on resumes. And please, callers, let me just see if anybody else checked in here. Oh, yeah, there's a few people I haven't let on. 503 and 215, you guys want to say anything? Sorry, I didn't notice you there. I was just so wrapped up in the conversation. The new guys who came
on? I'm just listening. I'm 503.
Who are you?
My name's Kristen Kelscher.
Kristen. Okay, you know what? The other guy, as soon as I asked him who he was, disappeared. I guess I scared him away. Just tell us who you are.
I work with Amy Beth.
Oh, you work with Amy. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so we'll let you just sit there. Resumes are what we're going to talk about now. Scotty says, you're not the best person to write and review your resume. You've got no objectivity, and you can't tell which parts are important or something like that. What do you mean someone can't write his own resume? He or she knows his job way better than any professional resume writer.
Absolutely true. And when you as an individual write your own resume, you need to consider that phase one instead of the end product. You should take whatever you build from your experiences, your achievements, whatever you want to think is important and put on your resume, and take it to a professional and let them finish it, because they're going to polish it for you, they're going to make it much more presentable, and they're going to do all the little things that as a end user, a person who doesn't probably work in the HR recruitment space, they can add certain things that make your resume much more marketable.
Everybody agree with that or not? No comment? How much should they pay for their resume finishing?
You know, it's hard to quantify that with a dollar figure. If I was at this point mid-career, I would certainly pay a couple $100 to have it done professionally.
Now, are you just saying that, or have you seen any actual examples?
No, I've done that.
Oh, you've written resumes?
No, I've paid someone to.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah, I mean,
you sound like a guy who could write a good resume to me.
Well, I learned a lot through the experience of having someone take what I built and make it what I consider to be quite a bit better.
Okay, I got another question for you.
Okay.
I discovered a woman yesterday online. She got a blog. I won't say her last name, but her first name is spelled Y-N-E-M-A. Y-N-E-M-A. I say she should change her name. What do you say?
No, she definitely shouldn't change her name.
It sounds like enema to me.
But people are who they are. And in today's environment, with a lot of cultural diversity and international flavor to the job market, everybody you're going to come across.
I disagree. Enema. Who could go with a name like that?
When I was a recruiter before,
yep.
There was another recruiter in
yep.
our office who was
yep.
working with a German candidate
yep.
named Dorcas.
I see. That's a Latin name.
I kid you not. And every time we would, you know, have a hot sheet meeting, the guy would go, you know, okay, well, I'm working with Dorcas. And, it, you know, people would laugh.
So what do you advise? Doris? She should have changed it to Doris?
It's actually
what do I advise?
Name.
Yeah, I mean, what's your take on these names?
Dorcas is just going to be a distraction. Give me a break.
Okay, work marks. What do you got to say?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. It's a no-brainer.
Okay. I know what he's thinking anyway. Listen, Scott, I'll give you a chance. I've been leading the conversation. Is there something I've missed that you'd really like to talk about at this point? Who's there with this music all the time? Is that somebody's cell phone? Okay.
Oh, is that what happens when I put this call on? I'm putting the call on hold so I can go down and use my hands-free button and listen to it while I...
Okay, it's okay. It only lasts a minute.
So what,
Scotty,
do you get, like, guitar
yes.
music?
Guitar music, yeah. It's better than pots and pans. Sometimes there's someone there making lunch or something. I don't know who it is. Scotty, is there anything that I haven't covered at this point you want me to talk about or that you'd like to talk about? Anything you want to make a speech about?
I don't know about making a speech. You've covered most of the topics that I kind of thought we would talk about. I think the one thing that, for me as a newer person to blogging in this space, you know, the Gen Y group is the group that intrigues me the most. So if there's any feedback or comments or just...
Stay away from them. That's my advice.
Yeah, they suck.
Well, I'm trying, you know, again, as someone in their early 40s, I'm really trying to get my head around who they are, where they're coming from. You know, I read a lot of their blogs and their posts, and they're still a little bit of a mystery to me, but I'm working on them.
Okay. Now, you said you reinvented your own career. What does that mean? What did you do?
That's a work in process. I mean, part of the blogging thing for me and really the goal of this whole blogging thing, one is I'm really doing it for fun. I mean, right now there certainly is no monetary value in it, but the reinventing for me is blogging as a start to documenting, writing, and putting some information out there about my experiences, what I've learned. I'm learning a ton more in the process, obviously, but I think this is an opportunity from my own career perspective to branch out and really see where all this goes. I mean, blogging is...
So you want to be a career counselor. Why don't you just say it up front?
No, I don't want to be a career counselor.
That's true? No?
No.
Shocker.
I think there's a potential for this from Scott's perspective to grow into something, and I don't really know what it might be. I mean, blogging is still pretty new as a forum. I think there's a lot of exciting things that could happen, so this is part of the process for me of reinventing. I mean,
now, who told you to send me an email telling me about your blog? Because that's how you happen to end up here.
Yeah. You know, I stumbled across your blog. I thought it was really interesting, really sort of somewhat almost controversial. I mean, I think you have a lot of the same ideas I have. Let's put some things out there. Let's try and create some controversy and have some good discussion. I like that about you. And I saw you got a pretty good blogger. I'm like, I'll throw this guy an email and see if he can take a look at my blog, give me some feedback, tell me what's right, what's wrong. Maybe he'll put me on his blog.
Here you are on the number one recruiting radio show within a month of going on the blogosphere. But I have to tell you, someone else actually sent me an email the exact same week. I was shocked, too. I got two of them. I never get these. And I invited that person to be here today with you, and he refused. He said, I have to prepare, whereas you had the guts just to jump in. And you got some real devils on the line here. They're very quiet today. I don't know why.
Yeah, they've been pretty gentle so far.
Yes, they have. Especially, have you seen the Workforces blog?
You know, I not in a lot of depth. I saw some of his stuff just this morning. He caught my eye because he was on your site. So, but I don't.
Yeah, well, okay. You got a good idea if you read his comments there. Anyway, listen. You've got a typo on your blog. You say challenges as challenges. You've got a double S there, okay?
Thank you.
Challenges. Go take a look at that. You worked with multiple governments. I don't know if that's a good adjective either. Many governments might be. But maybe Gen Y says multiple governments. I don't know. Scott provides insights and practical tools that allow people to develop themselves, meeting the challenges of today's career marketplace. Okay, let me see. You're in Chandler, Arizona. Like, where's that? Does anybody know?
Just outside Phoenix.
Outside Phoenix. Like, can you tell us something about it? What kind of place is that? Is that a suburb of Phoenix?
It's a suburb of Phoenix, yeah. I'm 20 minutes from downtown, 30 minutes from downtown.
Now, I when I go to Starbucks in the morning, the guy who sits next to me, he's here in Toronto, but he's also got a home in Phoenix, and he told me it's a typical American donut. Downtown is like where nobody goes, right?
Very true.
Okay. And anybody else been to Chandler? No? Okay. Who's Mike Oblinsky? He's your pal, right?
He's a friend of mine.
A real friend or just an online friend?
No, he's a real friend.
Okay. Like, you know him person to person?
I know him very well, yes.
Okay. So, you know, he's got in his blog role thesuperficial.com. Right?
Yes, he does.
So let's move back for a second. Which would you choose, the superficial or what would Tyler Durden do? They're both the exact same.
Well, yeah,
that's the question. Okay. And actually, I wish they'd have more than Brittany on there. Now, Workforce, I'm going to give him a chance. He wants to talk about something. Workforce, here's your chance. You've got 5 minutes to go.
About what?
Oh, okay. If you have to ask me that question, then you really don't have anything to say. Scotty.
Well, I thought we were going to put that conversation on a shelf.
Okay, that's fine with me. Yes, he wants to see Don Jago. Do you know who Don Jago is, Scott?
Yes, I do. Yeah, from Jobster.
Yes. He's stepping down. And that's
soon departed CEO, yes.
That's big news for us, okay? He's one of the stars of the recruitosphere. Okay, let me see. You know, we haven't come to the end yet. I mean, I don't have to go for the whole. Do you have a favorite song, Scott?
Probably At Last.
What is it?
At Last.
You want to sing it for us?
No, I don't.
If I knew it, I'd sing it with you.
It's an old song. It was a song that my wife and I danced at our wedding.
Okay, who sang it? Like,
Ella Fitzgerald has covered it. I'm not sure who originally.
At Last.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? They played that in Starbucks in the morning. They have an Ella album now. Amy Beth wants to say something, but she says, I don't know what she's saying. She's saying something, but she doesn't have the guts to say it up front, so she's sending me by the back channel. You know what? What was I going to tell you? Oh, yeah, Scotty. So back to Gen Y, and then I'm going to move on. Gen Y, is it the best generation that ever existed, or is that just a boatload of crap?
Well, at this point, it's a boatload of crap. I mean, they haven't proven anything. I mean, they may very well be, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, but when you read them, that's what they're kind of telling you, right?
Yeah. They're working very hard, and you know they're great, and they're going to change the world. And you know, God bless them. I hope they do.
Okay, Amy, are you still a member of Gen Y? Or are you a little on the too old side?
I'm kind of on the cusp. I'm 28, so I kind of fall into both categories.
Oh, okay. So you don't count. The cusp—that's sort of a horoscope term, isn't it?
I guess. I don't
okay.
know. But,
okay.
You know, I relate to both sides. I can relate to Gen Y and I can relate to Gen X.
Well, they really, you know what that means? You're really in neither. You're sort of falling through the cracks. Nothing
yep.
to see. Yeah. Anyway, okay. I'm going to move on. Sorry, I can't hear you, Harry. You're on that garbage phone.
That's not what that means. I relate to men and I relate to women. What does that mean?
Well, I know what that means.
Yeah, me too.
You're in workforce territory. Okay, Now, did anybody see my posting on UMail?
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
I didn't read the whole thing in depth, but it looks like it's basically customized voicemail depending on the incoming call.
That's great, isn't it? It's perfect for recruiters. Now, let me ask you another question. Did you see my Linda Ronstadt videos that I linked to?
No.
She was pretty cute in 1972. I was never a fan of hers, but I had to say I was impressed. And I like some of her songs, too. And I thought the song that I was listening to would be great for UMail if you're not a recruiter, but I'll tell you from a recruiter's point of view. You send your candidate out to the client, and before the candidate calls you back, sometimes they never do, the client calls and said, this guy stinks, right? So you program your phone, and you play the Linda Ronstadt song, You Broke My Heart, You Broke It In Two, You're No Good, and I'm Through With You! Can you imagine? That's great. I learned my lesson, and I learned it well. You're no good, and you can go to hell. Anyway, you're no good. Can you imagine calling your recruiter and getting that voicemail?
That's now in lieu of the thanks but no thanks letter or email.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, but that's no good for Harry, because, you know, Harry's really – let me ask you this. Here's, you know, Harry's the marketing headhunter. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Okay, he's on the line. He gets his candidates, after they strike out, to tell the next guy who's going out all the details about the company. And that's pretty sharp, isn't it?
That's interesting.
He won a prize for doing that. He gets a year subscription to the Fordyce letter. Do you know what the Fordyce letter is?
Heard of it, but I don't know.
It's a magazine for recruiters. Okay, let me see. You know what? I think I'm at the very end of my script. If anybody else has something they'd like to talk about, we've got 8 minutes remaining, or are we done? Harry, anything you'd like to chat about, bacon salt or anything like that?
No, so let's give an eight-minute warm-up on Don Jago. What happened there?
Well, I don't know. Nobody knows what's happened.
Why is he leaving?
I'm anxiously awaiting the ERE presentation, you know, because they'll obviously be there and he'll obviously be speaking, and I wonder if he's going to address his departure in the future of Jobster.
Double speak?
I'm sorry?
I mean, it's just going to be a bunch of double speak is all it is. I mean, he's going to go up there and he's going to say, I've really enjoyed it, and Jobster's great, and its best days are ahead of it, and I'm really looking forward to my next steps. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And
sure.
Well, isn't that the truth?
One cliche after another. Not that I'm busting on Jason's balls for that, but that's what would you do if you were in his shoes? That's what I would do.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to take
the story.
Yeah, he's going to take the safe road. There's no question. And, you know, time is going to shake out the truth. That's for certain. So,
the truth? They don't have a product. They laid off half their staff. He said they'd make money in 2007. That was his vow. I guess, you know, they can't meet their goal. So it's time to move on. I thought Scotty, is it okay if we chat about this for a few minutes?
No, absolutely. I was going to just chime in real quickly. I think it'll be curious to see who eventually gets named as his replacement and what that person's background is and where they ultimately take the company next. Because, I mean, this may be an effort to make the company more financially viable so they can go IPO. I mean, who the next CEO is may drastically tell us more about where this company's headed.
I don't think that the company knows. I think that they've changed. They've been so many different things in the last 3-4 years that they were almost like a secured referral network, and then they changed to, you know, social networking, then they went for job postings, then they went, you know, on and on and on. And I don't think that they ever had a clear vision on what they wanted to be when they grew up. That, in my opinion, contributed the most to their demise. And
they're not demised yet.
Well,
listen to this. All of the senior – see, who's going to come next? I mean, which question Scott asked – it's a good question, because all the senior guys, it seems to me, are gone. Phil Bogle's gone. That guy Neil, who founded it with them, is gone, or number two employee, he's gone. Don Jago's going to be gone. VP of sales, the bacon salt guy, Dave Lefko, is gone. Nobody from the early generation is left anymore, right? So it's a complete turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. I don't know. But the reason they're having the turnover is good. But what I was going to say, for Don Jago's benefit – what Glenn Guttmacher said. He pointed out something that Peter Drucker's famous for saying. There's, you know, some guys are good at starting up a company, some guys are good at maintaining it, and some guys are good for its senior years as well. And his take on it was that Dunjago was a great startup guy. He raised $50 million, and he hired a lot of great people, but maybe not for the middle stretch.
Oh, I think, you know, my hat's been off to Jason for all this time, despite some of the jabs that I've taken at him in the blogs. But, you know, I think it's phenomenal to see what I considered a recruitment technology site and or tool to, number one, get that kind of backing financially. Number two, I think Jason's a dynamic guy. He brought a lot of pizzazz to and excitement to the space. You know, I got, from a business standpoint, I got nothing but admiration for Jason.
You're kissing ass now. You want a job from him at the next place he goes?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. I don't want to get shot.
Okay. So hold on. We got a new guy here, 215. That's not Dave Manister, is it? No, that's 212. He's a 215. Do you want to say anything? Do you know what we're talking about? No. Okay. Scotty, anything else you'd like to say?
No. I mean,
that's it?
You're
a salesman.
I got a lot more airtime than I was expecting, to be honest with you.
Well, really, I thought you were worried at the beginning we weren't going to give you any airtime at all.
No, I knew we'd be okay.
Okay. Well, I'm done, everybody. Thank you, Scotty, for coming on. You're welcome to come on again in the peanut gallery next time, though. And thank you, Amy Beth, Mr. Workfarce. We're going to have to do something special, though, for the Farewell Dunjago tour. And Harry and whoever else is sitting on the line. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
If I can get some music for the sign-off. Oh, we got the guitar music. I don't have that.
Scotty, good luck with your blog, man.
Hey, thanks, everybody.